Welcome, radio friends, to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus. And I would like to come to you with a special appeal. We are looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month to this ministry. God has blessed us over the years and has been faithful in providing for our airtime. But now we are coming to our listening audience and asking you to be a part of it. We would like for you to make a one-year commitment of $25 a month. If we could get 100 people, that would take care of the broadcast charges each month. Now, with that commitment, we also have a book that I want to share with you. The title of the book is one that I wrote. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, and it deals with spiritual warfare. As we look at our life today, we see as believers, we are in constant spiritual warfare. And so this book will help you to develop strategies for dealing with Satan and all of his forces as you go out into the world. 50 Ways to Resist the Devil will be yours if you will commit to be a part of this ministry. We are calling those who commit to give $25 a month anchored partners. And so we want to invite you to be an anchored partner. Now, let me say this. As we have put this ministry together over the years, we have done it all with volunteer support. Those who handle the requests are volunteers. Those who prepare the programs are volunteers. And any funds that we receive, 100% of it goes to airtime. So you can be assured that your money will go to support the ongoing work here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and it will go to the airtime. So again, why don't you join us in becoming a anchored partner in giving $25 a month? There's a couple ways that you can do this. You can go to PayPal on our website, and that is www.anchoredinjesus.org, or you can make a checkout and send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can call the toll-free number and find out how you can become a monthly supporter of this ministry. The number is 877-831-5060. So we ask that you would be prayerful about how God would have you participate in this ministry. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self.
What was it? Stevens, there, the Stevens household. She's always trying to find out, putting her nose somewhere where it shouldn't be. Well, what is that? What is that? That's self. That's nothing but self. Now, you know, my wife, she gets on me because I'm always looking out the window, trying to see what's going on in the neighborhood. You know, I know when somebody got a new car, but I just say I'm looking out for my property, man. I'm trying to protect my investment, right? You can get your nose out of joint, and that's being angry. You can cut it off to spite your face, and that's bitterness. Or you can pay through it, and that's materialism. And so if you look at all those things that you can do with your nose, it all comes out of what? It all comes out of self. Self. So David, in the first verse, what he's trying to do is to get us to recognize self. And then he moves from the recognition of self to the removal of self. The removal of self. And so the first thing he says in verse 2, he says, surely I have behaved. And we can stop right there. We can stop right there. Back to the notes. See, this is why I give notes out, so you can leave with this stuff. And you can go study it and see what Pastor Glaze is telling you. All right? The Hebrew word for behaved means or can mean to counterattack or counterbalance. And so what is he saying? That if you are going to remove self, that you have to go through some spiritual warfare. That you have to, you're in a battle. And the battle is not against flesh and blood. But there's a battle going on in heavenly places. And that if you don't come and that you don't realize that you are doing spiritual warfare with yourself, you've missed the point of the battle. You've missed the point. See, the spiritual warfare, and I thank God that he taught me this. I thank God that he taught me this. The spiritual warfare does not start with the person out there. It doesn't start with the person out there. Spiritual warfare starts right in here. And if you can get the victory in here, if you can get the victory in here, baby, you got the victory. You got the victory. You know, I think of Paul. And Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, I beat myself under the eye. You know, that's what that word, he said, I bring my body into subjection. Literally mean, I give myself a black eye. Now, he wasn't physically punching himself in the eye. You know, but literally he's saying that my flesh wants to do what? It wants to rise up. And what did he say? I got to beat it back down. That when temptation comes my way, going back to the song, right? Temptation is in the heart. That when temptation comes my way and it wants to ooze out, what I got? I got to beat it back down. I'm in a war. And the war starts with you. I like what I heard somebody say. We have seen the enemy and we is they. We are our worst enemies sometimes. Now, I'm being hard this morning. I, you know, there's other messages, you know, where I'm light and, you know, trying to lift up. But, you know, God put this on my heart, heavy. And I realize because I'm a pastor and I know I struggle. I struggle with self. So I know that there's other people out there that's struggling with self. And we got to learn how to beat self down. And it's a warfare. And so the first thing we see, it's a warfare. The second thing he says, surely I have behaved, and we can stop right here, and quieted. These are some powerful words. The word quieted, you know what it means? Go back and look it up in your lexicon if you want to. But it means to silence by cutting down, or to silence by destroying. So when he says that he has quieted himself, it means that he had to go through some demolition. So if we're gonna cast down self, you know, first of all, we gotta realize it's spiritual warfare. And then secondly, we gotta realize that, you know, we gotta tear down the things that are rooted in flesh. We gotta demolish them. You know, you can't let them, you know, when something happens and you get angry and you don't deal with that, then it's just gonna grow and fester. And then it's going to bring forth fruit in your life. But you got to what? Man, you got to destroy it. Y'all, I like that song. Give me again. They say, I see somebody. Here he goes again. I like that song, I Shot the Sheriff, right? Yeah. Because, you know, in there, it said, every time I would plant a seed, the sheriff would say what? Kill it before it grows. Kill it before it grows. You know, I don't know Eric Clapton. I don't know how... biblically he was tied in, but there's a lot of truth in what he said. And that is, if you got to kill it, you got to demolish it, you got to tear it down, you got to cut it down at the root, baby. Cut it down at the root. You can't let that thing fester. You can't let that thing grow, because it will defile you. And Satan just, you know, Satan loves to plant a seed in our heart. And once he plants that seed in our heart, he'll do, you know what, man? Satan is a master gardener, because he will fertilize that thing, he'll water it, and he'll bring the sunshine. And it'll grow. And the next thing you know, man, you'll be in something, having something in your spirit that God did not intend for you to have in your spirit. And so David said, if you're going to overcome flesh, you got to enter in spiritual warfare, you got to demolish it. And then the third thing he says is that you have to go through the weaning process. You have to go through the weaning process. That's why I titled this sermon, Weaning Your Soul Off of the Breast of Self. He says in verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself like a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is like a weaned child. And we think that God is trying to get a message to us. So I wanted to make sure I emphasize the message that God has for us. I have right here a baby bottle. Right? And God is saying to some that you need to be weaned. You need to be weaned. You need to get on this bottle. But there's a lot of people that they don't want to leave the breast of self. They don't want to leave the nurture, the milk of the Word of God. They don't want to begin to nurse on the milk of the Word, but they would rather nurse on the breast of selfishness. And so David says, my heart is weaned. And just like a baby, when the mother tries to take the baby off of the breast, the baby will cry, wah, wah. The baby will reach out, right? Reach out, wah, wah. But the mother can't give in. She's going to wean the child. Whoo! She can't give in. The baby will try to wear you down, crying. I can't take this crying anymore. I can't take it. It's driving me crazy. But if you're going to wean the child has to take the bottle. And so it is with us. The flesh, it screams and it cries out. It hollers. It wants to grab you. But you got to realize that God has something else for you. God has milk for you to drink. God has the Word for you to feed on. And you can't give in to the flesh. And then sometimes you'll give the child the bottle and the child will throw it away. And then sometimes you'll hold the bottle up and the child will slap it away. But if you're going to wean the child, if you're going to break the child off, you got to stand firm. You got to stand fast. David said, my heart, he said, is like a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even like a weaned child. My soul is like a weaned child. So one day, at some point, the child realizes that if it don't get this bottle, it's not going to be nourished. And the child accepts the bottle. And we need to realize, as I said here in my notes, as a child that is weaned from his mother, my soul is even a weaned child. Like a weaned child still hungers, not for milk, but for food. The weaned believer still hungers, not for self, but for God. But for God. The removal of self. And then my last point is that now you got to replace self. You got to replace what the child started on, and you got to give the child the bottle. You got to give them the bottle. The replacement of self. He says in verse 3, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. And so David calls in the notes for Israel to hope in the Lord. This call to Israel also served as a reminder to him about the place hope was to have in his life. The word hope signifies more than a feeling, but it was an exhortation to trust and patiently wait on God. And you know what this means? This means that you make Jesus Christ, that you make God the Lord of your life. And so we have in the next slide two circles. These circles represent two kinds of lives. Which one best represents yours? And I'm sure that many of you probably already saw this before. You know, this was in several tracks, so I just pulled it from one of the tracks. The self-directed life is on the one side. Self is on the throne, and Christ is on the outside. Does that represent your life? You know, Jesus, in Romans chapter 14, it said that he died, revived, and rose again that he might be Lord. And as long as self is on the throne, Jesus is on the outside. But on the other side, we see the Christ-directed life. And this is where Christ is on the throne and self is on the outside. Which circle best represents your life? Let's be honest. Come on now, saints. Let's be honest today. What circle best represents your life? Is your life best represented by the circle where self is on the throne and Christ is on the outside? You know, you don't have to go very far to try to figure it out. I will say, you know, when you get up in the morning, that tells you right then, as soon as you get up, it tells you who's on the throne. It tells you who's on the throne, right? Now, I'm not saying I know some people, because every time I say this, somebody always comes back at me. Now, I like to spend my time with the Lord in the morning, but not everybody spends their time with God in the morning. So I'm not even talking about spending time with God in the morning, even though I think that's important. What I'm talking about more, that when you get up, who is your day dedicated to? When you get up, who is your day yielded to? Even, man, you might have 9 million things to do, but do you get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, or do you get up and say, good Lord, morning? Which one? Yeah, which one? When you get up in the morning, do you say, Lord, I dedicate this day to you. Lord, I don't know what awaits me. I don't know what's down the road, but Father, you are on the throne of my life. Lord, that you are the Lord of my life, and I know that I want to keep you there all day, and as I go through this day today, Lord, I pray that you would reign as king on the throne of my life all day. You made a statement right then. From the very jump street of your day, you said who's on the throne of your life. And sad to say that many of God's people go day after day after day after day with them on the throne of their life. If you go to the next slide, here goes some difference between the self-directed life and the Christ-directed life. The self-directed life is proud. Egotistical, arrogant. The Christ-directed life is humble. Yeah, let me say something. You know, you're gonna get more places by being humble than you are by being proud. You know, as a matter of fact, God says that he lifts up the humble and he puts down the proud. And I tell you what, that If you want to be something in life, you got to be humble. You can't be filled with ego and pride, because it's going to take you down quicker than quick. And then you can't be like the guy who got an award because they said that he was the most humble guy in the world. Right? This guy, you know, can you imagine? He got an award for being the most humble guy in the world. Wow! And then he came to get the award, and they took it back. They took it back, man. Humble. You got to be humble. The self-directed life, you walk in frustration. You hit your head against the wall. So there was a guy, he was hitting his head against the wall, just banging his head against the wall. And somebody said, "Why you keep doing that?" And he said, "It feels so good when I stop." Wait a minute. That's what a lot of God's people are doing. They're hitting their head against the wall. And they're just waiting for the relief to come when they stop doing it. But if I live a Christ-directed life, I don't have to hit my head against the wall. Amen. I can walk in victory because I know that he's on the throne of my life, and I can do it this life in a way where he's glorified. Well, we already looked at this other one. Three, thinks they're better than others. Christ-directed esteems. Now, here goes one right here. The self-directed life wants to keep hands on the control. There's years. I thank the Lord for my kids, right? I thank the Lord for my kids. And, all of them drive, right? But, when they first started driving, I just had a hard time. I wanted to be what? In the driver's seat. I remember when I was taking driver's ed in school, and many of you might remember this. Remember they had on the other side, whoever the instructor was, he had a wheel and he had a gas and a brake too, right? See, so some of us either, we want to control, or at least, we want to be sitting on the other side, right? Saying, well, hey, Jesus, look, I'm down with you driving the car. I'm really down with that. But I'm just for safety, I'm going to be sitting on this other side with my hand on the steering wheel and with a gas and a foot and a brake, right? Just in case you go in a direction that I don't agree with, then I can say, oh, wait a minute, Jesus. See, when Christ is the Lord of your life, you yield to his control. Self-directed wants to be served. Christ-directed looks for opportunities to serve. Self-directed blame shifts, takes responsibility for nothing. But the Christ-directed life accepts responsibility. Oh, I like this right here. Self-directed life is controlled by emotions. That you are controlled by your emotion. When you are on the throne of your life, you are controlled by your emotions. Now, there's sometimes, we go through things. And we have to be emotional. That's not my point. But my point is that we cannot let our emotions control us. That we deal with them. It's like the songwriter said, trouble in my way, I gotta what? I gotta cry sometime. Right? I gotta cry sometime. But we don't let our emotions control us. That we control our emotions. The self-directed life withholds forgiveness, but the Christ-directed life freely grants forgiveness. The self-directed life hungers for worldly things, but the Christ-directed life hungers for righteousness. So we have come to say today that you need to wean your soul off of the breast of self.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Critical But Stable. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Weaning Your Soul from the Breast of Self. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.